Good afternoon. It's 2 p.m. and this is a news brief from the WBAI News Department. I'm Paul DiRienzo. 500,000 people in Oregon have been evacuated as dozens of massive wind-driven wildfires scorched the West Coast on Friday. Authorities say thousands of homes have been destroyed and at least 16 people killed. Meanwhile, Oregon police departments warned of fake online messages blaming left-wing anti-fascists and right-wing Proud Boy activists for starting the fires. And relatives of victims of the 9/11 attacks gathered Friday morning for socially distanced online remembrances for the nearly 3,000 people killed in the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and a passenger plane that crashed in rural Pennsylvania. Two groups had separate memorials. The official memorial had decided to forego the traditional reading of the names of the victims by relatives, while another group organized an alternative ceremony with name readings a few blocks away from the memorial. President Trump addressed a ceremony at the Flight 93 National Memorial near Shanksville in Battleground, Pennsylvania. Joe Biden plans to pay his respects at the same site later today. And the Metropolitan Transit Authority announced yesterday that commuters who refuse to wear a mask on public transit will soon be subject to a $50 fine. The fine will be enforced on Metro North and the Long Island Railroad, as well as subways and buses. About 90% of riders have been following the mask mandate put in place by Governor Andrew Cuomo. Folks who forget their masks shouldn't worry. Free masks will be provided to any rider who needs one. And city officers began moving disabled people from a midtown shelter Thursday to make room for homeless men being moved out of the Lucerne Hotel in a Tony Upper West Side neighborhood. Residents of the Harmonia Hotel got less than 48 hours notice to clear out. They rolled onto the street in wheelchairs and wearing oxygen masks. Mayor de Blasio has been accused of caving into NIMBY pressure from well-heeled locals. Homeless men have been housed in hotels to break up congregate shelters where COVID-19 spread like wildfire. Several lawsuits are being filed by advocates to stop the move. And in Brooklyn, the district attorney and New York City Police Department are sponsoring a voluntary cash for guns program tomorrow, Saturday, September 12th, at St. Paul's Community Baptist Church at 858 Hendrick Street in East New York. The gun buyback is from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Authorities will be offering a $200 gift card, no questions asked, for each gun recovered. I spoke with Brooklyn DA Eric Gonzalez about the Cash for Guns program earlier today.
The New York City Police Department has recovered nearly 200 illegal firearms off of people, sometimes in cars, but in other places. It seems to be a lot of illegal firearm possession. And this gun buyback program we're doing is one of many solutions to try to reduce the number of illegal firearms in our communities. We've seen this year in 2020 a tremendous spike in the homicides and the number of shootings. In a place like Brooklyn, in 2019, Brooklyn had a record year in terms of safety. We had the fewest number of shootings in Brooklyn's history last year. So we were at a record low, and now this year we're seeing this tremendous spike after COVID. And, you know, I'm sure your listeners know there have been many explanations given for why the rise has happened, but we need to start to remove these guns. So the police will continue to do enforcement and take firearms off people who are illegally carrying them. We're going to have this voluntary cash for guns program. We're doing that this Saturday, September 12th, which is tomorrow, at St. Paul's Community Baptist Church in East New York in Brooklyn. It's 858 Hendrick Street, and it's from 10 to 4 p.m. And if you turn in a firearm, you will get a $200 gift card that's being paid for by the New York City Police Department and the Brooklyn DA's office. We're doing it in connection, so I want to thank Commissioner Dermot Shea. I also want to thank Reverend Brawley for opening up his church. We do it at a church so people have confidence to know that this is not a some sort of plan, that people aren't going to get arrested. In fact, we ask that you bring the gun in a paper bag or a box. We're not going to ask you for ID. You'll turn over the gun, and you will get the gift card, and you can go on your way. There's no tricks here. The police are giving people safe harbor to transport the guns. If you're going to bring it by car, they ask that it be put in the trunk. in a, again, in the paper bag or box. So this is one solution. I've been an assistant district attorney for a long time. I've been the elected prosecutor since 2017. But many of these guns that are in people's homes, they don't know how to get rid of them legally. It's not that easy to get rid of guns. Often those guns may get sold to a third person that could be used to commit a crime. But so many guns are used in suicides because they're laying around a house. And so many guns, young children find them, they play with them, and then we have these tragedies. So we think a voluntary buyback is important. That is one part of it, the enforcement by NYPD to take guns off people who are carrying them illegally is obviously very important, and we need to make sure that that continues. We've seen an increase over the last few weeks, but we were down for the year in the recovery of guns. And then finally, we're going to go after the traffickers of these firearms. My office has done a few of these cases. We're going to do some more. What we see is that people who live in southern states understand that they can get guns very easily there. They have very lax and open gun laws, and that they can then use gun couriers to transport these guns up to places like Brooklyn and sell them to people who want to possess an illegal firearm and often wanting to do harm and cause, commit crime.
Are these based on these arrests for people who run these guns, these gun runners? Does this come from people being stopped at the tunnel or from investigations where agents are going down to South Carolina and North Carolina, these kind of places?
Mostly done by investigations. The ones that get stopped on, in the tunnels, in the buses, on trains, those are handled, those recoveries happen, but most of those guns get intercepted before they get into a place like Brooklyn. The investigations that the NYPD does with, very trained and specialized and brave undercover police officers find out who's selling guns illegally, and then they work to purchase guns from them. And then there's, a very complicated investigation to figure out where they're getting those guns, who's supplying them, so we can not just get the person who's selling the gun, but we're going to get their suppliers as well. And those investigations make a difference because the deterrence factor in there, making sure that people who buy guns and know that they're going to sell them illegally, that they're going to be charged as well. So it's an important piece.
What happens to these guns? Let me ask, what happens to these guns?
We destroy them. I mean, the police will take them. They'll check them out. We'll look to see if they were used in any other crimes so that we, have that. But for the most part, the guns are purchased and then we destroy them. So
does it work? Does this work?
I think it does. I think it does, because any one of these guns, the last time the DA's office did one, we recovered over 200 guns. We know that one of these guns, just even one of these guns, could, be used in a robbery, could be used to shoot someone, could, be used in a homicide, just one of these guns, it would be a victory. But when you can get a few hundred, it's a big thing. I know that, these guns, like I said, are often in people's homes, and they don't know how to get rid of guns. There's a lot of phone calls to 311 and others to say, how do I get rid of a gun? And it's very complicated. So here we have this opportunity with the police department to say to folks, we'd rather you surrender the gun voluntarily than us having to execute a search warrant or just, arrest you on the street for carrying this firearm.
Family story from the 1930s. My grandfather was a military man who packed a 38, and it was trouble in the neighborhood. It was a tough part of Brooklyn that my family grew up in. And for a year, he needed it for protection. And then they had this gun kicking around for decades, and nobody knew how to get rid of it.
I'm going to tell you the same thing happened in my family. I'm from a, military family. It was a gun, and we tried to get rid of the gun, and we called the police, and there was a big rigmarole to get rid of it as well. When they come to your home to get a gun, they're not feeling so safe. And so this is a much better way of getting rid of these guns. I'm hoping that this will encourage people to get rid of these firearms. And just knowing that in these economic times, getting a $200 gift card, no questions asked, may encourage people to, right, to really do this.
People get guns because they feel not just to commit crimes, but they feel unsafe. What's the message to people who feel they have to get a gun because of gangsters in their neighborhood who might threaten them and their family?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. And we saw during COVID, there was a stampede of folks trying to buy guns legally at gun shops. I heard there was something like 20 million Americans who have purchased a gun. People have affinities for guns in our culture. In neighborhoods where we've seen a spike in shootings, when we arrest a lot of these, you know, mostly young men, when questioned about the gun, the number one response that we get by like 70-80% is that they're carrying a gun for protection, that there's shootings, there's some inability they feel to go to the police and participate and cooperate with the police, so they think that this gun is going to protect them. But my message is a gun is the worst way you can protect yourself. The studies are clear. You're more likely to be shot or to hurt somebody else if you have a firearm, and you're more likely to go to jail. And in New York State, we have very strong gun laws.
What is the sentence if you're convicted and get the full arm of the law?
You face a maximum of 15 years on a single gun charge, and there is a mandatory minimum of 3.5 years if you're carrying a loaded operable firearm on the streets of New York City. This, you know, different sentencing things if the gun is in your home, but the penalties are stiff. And I can tell you there's about 1,000 people a year in Brooklyn who face gun prosecution. So we know there's a lot of guns on the street. So we're going to do our best to go after our traffickers and educate our public. But it's an important message. You're not safer carrying a gun. You're actually putting yourself in harm's way.
I agree. Thank you very much, Mr. DA, or I don't know how you call you DA, but sir, thank you.
Well, thank you. And again, tomorrow, St. Paul's Community Baptist Church from 10 to 4, 858 Hendrick Street. Thank you for having me on.
And that's Brooklyn DA Eric Gonzalez. And the Gun Buyback, the Cash for Guns program, is tomorrow, Saturday, September 12th at St. Paul's Community Baptist Church at 858 Hendrick Street in East New York. It's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Authorities will be offering a $200 gift card, no questions asked, for each gun recovered. And you're listening to WBAI. I'm Paul DiRienzo. Today's weather is going to be sunshine and mixed clouds with a high of 76 degrees. It's expected to be much cooler than yesterday. Tonight, 10% chance of precipitation, and tomorrow, sunny along with a few clouds. High 72 degrees, a beautiful day to return your gun. And now it's time for me to ask listeners to step up and buy back WBAI so that the fine people at this listener-sponsored radio station based in New York City from its home in Brooklyn can continue to bring you international, national, and community news like no other news source in this, the nation's largest city. You can become a WBAI buddy in the name of the WBAI Evening News by calling 516-620-3602 or online at give2wbai.org. So if you like listening to the WBAI News and to the work that the WBAI News Department delivers to you each and every day, please become a WBAI buddy in the name of the news by dialing 516-620-3602 or online at give2wbai.org. Now we have a treat for you. We have 10 minutes to take your calls, and our online number is our live on air number is 212-209-2877. I hope I'm correct in saying that. 212-209-2877. And if you have any questions or comments about the news. I mean, WBAI, we are pretty out there in the left wing. So here we had the district attorney of Brooklyn on the air. Any questions about that? Do you think that we are cooperating a little too much by having the DA on our air and to talk for 10 minutes about his gun buyback program? Or do you think it's about time that WBAI reached out to government officials to get the inside story? Sometimes you just got to talk to these guys to know what they're doing. But you might have a different opinion. So if you want to call 212-209-2877, I'll be happy to take your comments and questions about the WBAI news. I'm Paul DiRienzo, and I've been doing the news here for a couple of years on and off, and you can hear me usually Tuesday through Friday at 6 p.m. We're doing a 2 p.m. special today because we wanted to tell you about this very, very important Cash for Guns program that's being held in Brooklyn, and also update you on the news, because we know that as a WBAI listener, you have a you are a fine connoisseur of information and knowledge. That's why you're tuned in to WBAI, because you are a special, a 1% of the 99%, the ones who want to know what's going on from a perspective that you can only get here on WBAI, the community perspective on the news. And our number to become a WBAI buddy in the name of the WBAI Evening News is 516-620-3602. Now, I'm going to – our engineer is Reggie Johnson. Reggie, are we getting any calls yet?
No.
All right. Well, if folks want to be heard – online, on the air, you got a few minutes, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877, and as soon as you call in, we can hear you on the air, you can hear yourself on the air, and you can have access to this incredible WBAI, a people's radio station. We really allow a freedom of access to the airwaves, to the public, that no other radio or television station in this city dares do. And that's because we know we have such a cool listenership. Because why do we know that? They wouldn't be listening to WBAI unless they, as I said earlier, were connoisseurs of information. 212-209-2877. What do you think about this gun buyback? Do you have a gun you want to turn over to the police to get rid of, take advantage of this window of opportunity where it's not illegal? Do you know what it is? He said it earlier. You can get 3.5 years minimum to 15 years in prison for one gun, per gun, right? And people go around not realizing that they are mortgaging a long, long prison sentence for doing something that might be so easy to do in another state, but is not so easy to do here in New York. And of course, we have seen this uptake in violence in New York, this uptick since COVID. What do you think? Has the mayor failed? Is that why? Or is it true what he said? This is a perfect storm. Why is there an uptick in crime? Why was a one-year-old child shot? Why was there a shooting at Juve? Why was there shootings all over Brooklyn and upstate
Paul,
New York?
Okay, Paul, look like we have callers here. So,
all right.
My question is, okay, I can see how it's necessary to disarm the black community. But are they... do they have a similar program, or maybe even more so in the white community, since they have so many guns and they're able to shoot so many bullets at the same time?
Well, New York is different.
Are we aware?
Okay. Yeah, let me leave it at that. I'm sorry, we don't have much time, but it's very interesting because Donald Trump has been saying that New York City and other big cities in this country are falling into violence. Crime rates are going up because of weak governments in these cities. But there's very little talk and no talk at all about millions of these AR-15 semi-automatic rifles that are out all over America and have been involved in so many bloody killings and mass shootings. And do people come to these communities and buy back their guns? I doubt it very much. I doubt it. I've never heard of such a thing. I think this is something that does happen in the cities, and this is a tradition in New York, and people do seem to respond. And I have, I want to go on to the next call. I have some things to say about that, but let's go on to the next call because we don't have that much time. So take a next call, please.
Okay.
And next question. We're going to just handle it as best we can.
All right. So, caller, you're on the air with Paul DiRienzo.
Yeah, I would like to ask the question that these guns that's being enforced by, buyback situation,
Yeah.
How is it being categorized? That's not the first question.
You know, are these being categorized?
In other words, recorded. That, you know, it's a 9mm, 45, whatever. In other words, jot it down.
Yes, absolutely. He says that they definitely back. They definitely are investigating each gun that comes in.
Okay, yeah. And the reason why I'm asking the first question, I have a second question will be real. Man. The reason why I ask the first question is we know there's a lot of nefarious situations going on with the police. They say one of them take it, they use it in a crime, or they stop a car and they need a reason. It's like a throwaway gun.
Yes.
And then I'm going to allow you to respond.
Oh, okay. Very good. So he's saying, the caller is saying, do the police destroy these guns, honestly, as the DA said they do, or do they keep them and use them as throwaway guns? I don't know. That's a good question. I tend to believe the district attorney when he tells me something. But what happens in any specific precinct? I don't know. We've had that problem, the throwaway gun. That's an interesting observation. Let's take the next call.
Okay, this is going to be the last caller. So, caller, you're on with Paul DiRienzo. You can speak at any time.
Say if it's a situation, do they have, like, the Internal Affairs Department investigating, like, police officers that would actually do certain things that would make it nefarious or bad for them to do? I mean,
I can actually give you a pretty good answer to that question. The misconduct complaint database that the New York Civil Liberties Union operates allows you to check any current and former New York City police officer, their past history of complaints and whether they were exonerated or convicted or there was lack of evidence. You can find that out if you go to NewYorkCivilLibertiesUnion.org, NYCLU.org, and then you'll see a link to the NYPD misconduct complaint database with over 300,000 complaints about NYPD misconduct. You scroll down and then you just type in the last name, first name of the officer, his ID, his rank, command, incident ID, any of this information, and you will see all the complaints and you can find out for yourself about the officer you're dealing with. This is a new development since the repeal of a law called 50A that allows the average citizen to really find out who they're dealing with and what the past complaint history of a police officer is. There was some fighting against this. There was a lawsuit to try and stop it, but the judge ruled that this is freedom of information, that you have a right to this information, and it's now public for better or for worse. So I would say go to nyclu.org and click on the misconduct database link. Type in the officer's name, rank, or badge number, and you should get an entire history of any complaints that were made about that officer and their disposition. So we've come to the end. It's 2:25. Thanks for joining this WBAI News Short. We'll see you. Have a great weekend.